The Survival Mom Radio Network is brought to you in part by UVPacklight.com.
Can you survive without light? Let's face it, flashlight batteries die, bulbs break, and fuel supplies run out. You'll always have a light source with UV Packlight. It's the ultimate survival light. Made from enhanced earth crystals, UV Packlights provide illumination all night long without batteries, bulbs, or electricity. And they never wear out or expire. Don't miss out on our risk-free trial offer. Go to UVPacklight.com and look for our ad on SurvivalMomRadio.com.
You're listening to the Survival Mom Radio Network. There's always something new to learn, and you can learn it right here with us. To view our lineup of all women hosts, show schedule, archived shows, and listen to us on iTunes, please visit our website, www.survivalmomradio.com. Aren't you glad you listened?
Welcome to Surviving on Shoestrings with Donna Miller. Together we'll look outside the box to stretch what we have, make do, and get by with humor, style, and a smile. And now welcome your hostess, Donna Miller.
Welcome to a new episode of Surviving on Shoestrings. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and I'm really glad to be with you again today. You know, as I was going through planning out what I wanted to talk with you about, you know, there's times I feel like, have I said everything I can say? I mean, have I shared everything I want to share? And I know there's more. I know that there are times that I think about, oh gosh, I need to tell you this on the show. And it doesn't commit to memory, so I try to keep a little running tab of things. But what kind of came up to me when I was thinking through what I wanted to talk about today was, I definitely don't want to make you feel like you don't have ideas of your own, or, you know, that I know everything, because good Lord, I don't. But I do want to kind of be basic on the show today. So I kind of want to do this in a tongue-in-cheek sort of way, emulating and copying the David Letterman top 10. And it's not to belittle what this is, because it's actually a very important topic. But it's kind of the best way I could think of to count down, because we do have some things in this list that may be more impressive to you, and they may be something that is impressed upon you more to utilize as a skill when it comes to stretching your budget. So, but there's some that, you know, really may be something that someone else can implement far better and more quickly. So I want to be able to do them all, but I definitely don't want to insult you by thinking you've not thought of these before. This is my top 10 thrifty kitchen habits. And it comes from a basis of not having a lot of money. It comes from a basis of really being frugal with what we're doing, trying to be a good steward with what we have, and enjoying the journey along the way. So I just want to start with the fact that my top 10, not necessarily in order of absolute priority, in a way it is and in a way it's not. My first, I'd say five, that's weird. The first five are really foundational. There's something that you can implement right now. And you don't even have to wait until you've done like the top three. You can start doing them right now. And actually any of these you can start doing in any order. So this is not a linear line. This is not a to-do list. Do this first, then step, step, step. Here are 10 of them. Implement them as you go. The first few are actually the easiest to do, whether you've got a dime to your name or not, and will make the best impact. But my big whopper, the whopper, is the number one. It's the big one that will go long term to help you out. So, there's got to be a drum roll. I'm going to do a drum roll. Here's Donna Miller's top 10 thrifty kitchen habits. Number 10, organize. I know, that's stupid. No, it's not actually. It's your foundation, because when you waste a lot of time in the kitchen, you also tend to waste a lot of money. Either you're wanting to buy quicker to make foods, or you can't find an item and you end up doing, guess what, buying more baggies or more Tupperware or. Be organized as best as you can. And here's the I'll have a tip that goes with each of these on how to accomplish this habit, because I'm not the best organizer, although a lot of people think I might be obsessively organized. I'm not. I tend to organize and then get out of organization. So I set myself on like a monthly scale, or I'm sorry, a monthly calendar to organize once a month, because I don't keep it organized. I'll get it all organized and then it'll go into disorganization, and then I'll get it organized again. So I spend a few minutes once a month kind of making sure it's all where it should be. The things I use most are most readily available. The things I use second are maybe up on a slightly higher shelf. The things I use once a year are way up there because I don't need to get to them on a regular basis. So when I say organize as a thrifty kitchen habit, It's true. It will save you time in the kitchen. It'll make what you're doing in there more enjoyable. It'll make you much more adept at what you're doing and much more skilled. So that's a pretty easy one. You don't have to spend a penny. If you find there's stuff you're not using and you haven't used it for a year, you can probably clear it out or sell it online or donate it or something. If you're not using it and you don't use it at least annually, it's probably not worth keeping in your kitchen to clutter it up. Number 9. This one's one of my favorites, and I don't know why it's at number 9 other than the fact it's easy to implement and it's a habit that once you start it, it's great every week. It will pay off for you. And that is, do a weekly refrigeration purge. Purge your refrigerator of all the weirdness that's in there once a week. Pick your favorite day, a day that maybe your husband's gone and your kids are gone and you can sprawl it all out on the counter or the kitchen table. Or for us, Wednesday's my favorite day to do a fridge purge because I'm planning my what I need to get on Thursdays at the grocery store, so I have a really good assessment of what I have on hand and what needs to be used up and what tiny thing might need to be purchased on sale to use that thing up. We'll get to that later. But pick the day that suits you best and pull out everything you can and combine and freeze and reorganize something to be, and I'm not talking about the placement of everything, and I'm not talking you have to actually wash out the refrigerator once a week. I'm about once a month on that. Maybe every couple, if I'm going to be honest. Maybe. Ideally, I like to clean it once a month, but that just doesn't always happen. But I do clean it out once a week, and I pull out anything that looks like it might be going bad or got hidden in the back. A potato that's in aluminum foil. Inevitably, we find one in the back. Great hash browns for breakfast the next day. A tiny bowl of beans, a tiny green beans, a tiny bowl of peas, and a little bit of corn. All that goes into the perpetual soup pot that goes in the freezer. All this stuff can save you money every single week. If you look at a leftover that you've got just enough to maybe feed one person, but you need a dinner, it may be, let's say, ground beef taco meat. You can add that to something else or a soup and make a dinner for multiple people instead of just one person's taco, you know, two or three tacos. So cleaning your refrigerator once a week is vital. It actually vied for number one in my mind when I made this list, but because it is a foundational habit, that's why I say it first. Organize your kitchen, 10. Do a weekly fridge purge, find out what's got to freeze, what's got to dehydrate, and what's got to be remade into something soon. Do that every week. So those are your two foundations to start with. Number 8, and these are building up to what I find to be the most important, the most weighty, the big whopper when it comes to your habits in the kitchen being thrifty. But number 8 is plant a garden. Even if it's a container garden, even if it's just a few tomato plants on your porch, growing some mint, whatever you can do to stretch the grocery it costs by growing it yourself. Not only is it going to taste better, it's going to be healthier for you, it's also immediately accessible. Herbs are one of those things that are phenomenally expensive. You can actually grow on your windowsill, and not only are they better for you when they're fresh, they have a more pungent taste, it smells good, and you're not spending the exorbitant amount of $4 for this tiny, tiny, tiny container. So grow a garden. In addition to that, it goes hand in hand. Learn how to preserve what you've grown, whether that's canning or freezing or dehydrating. And that dehydrating actually comes in handy when you clean out your fridge, as does freezing. So you know, those skills kind of start to build upon each other. And it's a great thrifty kitchen habit if you grow some of the food yourself. Number 7. You're going to go, yeah, well, ain't nobody got time for that. The truth is, this is a big one too. And to learn to cook from scratch using single ingredient items. Not boxes, not mixes, not pre-made, not packaged, not singular serving packaged. But use things from scratch. If you put a 5-pound bag of flour, which we don't use flour, we use grain and grind it, which is even cheaper. But if you are going to buy your flour and you put it next to a box of Bisquick, you really can make about 3 boxes of Bisquick for the same price of your individual ingredients to make pancakes or make your own Bisquick mix at home if you bought each ingredient separately. Now, up front, obviously, it's like buying 3 boxes of Bisquick. But the fact you can take that bag of flour and stretch it into multiple things, you can take that bag of beans instead of buying a small can of chili pre-made, you can take that bag of beans and use it multiple times in multiple things, and it's just an ingredient in your chili. You can usually make chili for a third of the price you buy canned. You can usually make pancakes for a third. I can make them even cheaper because of one of these other points that I'll get to. You can make pancakes far cheaper and healthier if you will make it from scratch instead of buying the box mix. It may seem convenient at the time. It may seem like, well, it's a smaller price. But if you look at the sticker at the base of the item that says the price, it will break down your cost per ounce or your cost per serving or your cost per fluid ounce. That's what you look at, because that's how you're going to eat. You're going to eat by serving, not by that whole box. So when you start comparing those things and you buy the individual ingredients and learn to cook from scratch, you're going to be surprised at how small your grocery budget's going to be and how far you're going to stretch what you've got, because you're going to have a lot of things on hand to be able to make more. Speaking of which, once you've gotten some individual ingredients, here's a big one that is a whopper when it comes to expense, and it can help you save money if you learn how to just make your own condiments. That's number 6. Anything from making hummus to replace mayonnaise, or make your own mayonnaise, or one of my favorites is make your own ketchup. Tomato paste, a little bit of agave nectar or honey, and a slight dash of salt or garlic salt, and Worcestershire sauce. There you go. You have a great ketchup, and it doesn't have any of the added preservatives that most ketchups do. Not to mention dressings, salad dressings. You can usually make your own salad dressing for a fraction of the cost that those small, tiny bottles, and it, again, will not have all those weird additives that are on the back that you're paying extra for. Not to mention bottles like ketchup and mayonnaise, and the squeeze out mayonnaise and the dressing bottles have those long, narrow necks. You always inevitably have extra stuck to the walls. If you make your own condiments and you put them in mason jars, you can get every last drop out. So, or not even mason jars, just reuse glass jars from an item you bought earlier. So making your own condiments actually will help you very much stretch your food dollars, not to mention eat a great deal healthier. So we're going to take a real quick break. We've stopped smack in the middle of my top 10 thrifty kitchen habits, and we're going to come right back afterwards, and we're going to hit the big ones. We're going to hit the ones that actually make an impact long term, and they are habits. They are habits you need to form, but you're going to see great dividends and payoff after that. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Old Dr. Bones here, and I want to know that you're prepared to deal with injuries and illness in any disaster scenario. What would you do if modern medicine was no longer available? The second edition of the Survival Medicine Handbook is over 550 pages of how-to advice for the non-medical professional. Our book will give you a head start on any calamity. And best of all, it's written in plain old English. The second edition includes many more topics and goes into more detail than our first book. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble, even mass casualty events. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. We help you learn how to use all the tools in the medical woodshed. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have a whole line of medical kits, suture stapling materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together, even if things fall apart. Check us out at doomandbloom.net.
At millersgrainhouse.com, you'll find both electric and off-grid appliances and encouragement to build your preparation kitchen. Miller's Grain House is dedicated to helping you save money while you prep. Listeners of Surviving on Shoestrings can save 10% off your purchase. Redeem your code at millersgrainhouse.com by typing SOS in the coupon box at checkout. Connect with Miller's Grain House on Facebook and check out our videos. Remember, millersgrainhouse.com and the code SOS to save on all your preparedness kitchen needs.
Do you have your free digital subscription to Prepare Magazine yet? If not, then hurry over to preparemag.com and start getting each monthly issue sent directly to your inbox. It's easy. All you have to do is go to preparemag.com, enter your name and email address, and you're subscribed. Consider signing up for the premium membership for past issues and exclusive resources. You can even subscribe to the beautiful print version of Prepare Magazine. Visit preparemag.com and choose the option that's most valuable to you. Prepare Magazine, encouraging, empowering, and enriching your journey.
You're listening to the Survival Mom Radio Network. You'll learn something new every hour from our team of all-women hosts. Visit our website at www.thesurvivalmom.com. Aren't you glad you listen? Now, back to the show.
Thank you for staying tuned to the next five of our top 10 thrifty kitchen habits here on Surviving on Shoestrings. All right, here are the big five impactors. Now, those are great foundational habits to start with, and anybody can do them, and I think see an impact just with those five. But add these next five on there, and you're going to see a big impact on your thrifty kitchen and be able to stretch your food, feed your family healthier, and make it go further. Number five is learn portion control. You might pick up an item and it's a great maybe price. Flip it over and look at how many servings you're supposed to get out of that. If we're backing up now, using individual ingredients, cooking from scratch, and making maybe some of your own condiments and things, your portions are still the same, but they're going to go further because you're going to see your or you're going to be able to stretch them further. Because if you spend, let's say, $5 for a pre-made lasagna, if you flip it over and realize the size of portions that you're really supposed to be eating, that thing's not going to go very far. You can make a lasagna to feed a stinking army for the same price. So learn portion control, and also, in conjunction with that, eat and serve more filling foods, foods that take longer to digest, a good balance of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, so that your body is satiated and you don't want those huger portions. You just portion out your portion control. This number five actually segues into our number four, and I'll do this in between. If you buy a 5-pound bag of almonds, wow, that's a big expensive thing because almonds are kind of pricey. Let's go peanuts. There we go. You buy a bucket of peanuts in bulk, or even at the store, they're on sale or something, and you found a great deal. For snacks, you can take the little snack baggies, put your peanuts in there, maybe some raisins or whatever, and make a dozen of these, ready to grab, easy to go. Or you can make peanut butter out of roasted salted peanuts. There's all kinds of things that you can do. But you portion control them out into their quarter cup size serving, and you have them already set and ready. It's going to be easier to stretch it than when everybody reaches down into that bucket to grab a handful or two or three while they're snacking. Or worse, I'm a culprit of this type of thing myself, putting the whole thing down in my lap while I'm maybe concentrating on an article that I'm writing or a or a show that I'm recording or a TV show I'm watching, something. That's the worst way for food to disappear. So if you portion control it all out when you first get it, it's going to work out great. Segueing into our number four is, when you're on the go, pack snacks and lunches as much as possible. A busy mom, a busy family, a weekend out, errands to run, whatever. You've felt that you've been there and you've walked through maybe and smelt bread baking at Subway or the bakery at the grocery store triggers you to buy something you really didn't want to buy, but you were hungry. If you will satiate yourself with a small snack before going into the grocery store or running an errand, you're less likely to purchase an impulse food and what we call mood foods. And you're not gonna get something just because your emotions were triggered by a smell and you're just slightly hungry. You don't have to eat lunch out. You can pack a great little igloo, cooler, whatever, of your lunch and take it in the car and eat it in between your errands. You're going to spend far less than you will if you go through a drive-thru or you go into one of the stores and get a combo. You're going to make your own combo healthier for probably $3 versus spending out $7 to $9 at some lunch restaurant or even more. And that's a great way to develop the habit of having a frugal kitchen because you've spent less already and it's already at home. You might as well take it with you. Number three. Now, I need to qualify this statement. I am not an extreme couponer. I like coupons. I think they're awesome. They have their place. And the place is in conjunction with a sale. That's the only place that I see them. I do not have 3 hours a day to extreme coupon and try to get everything for free, so I just use them as best I can. But I will always pair them with a sale. So number three is shop only your sales, pair them with coupons, and don't buy need-only groceries. And what do I mean by that? Now, I know you in the beginning, you're going to have a list. I need toilet paper. I need lemons. I need this. And that's fine. And you're going to have a few of those pop up on everything every week. But that should start to dwindle down because if you're shopping the sales, you're buying things that are two for one. What happens is in a grocery store every 3 to 9 weeks, sometimes every six, so it's 3, 6, and 9, sometimes they rotate around, your items go on sale. If they're going on sale in this grocery store and you have another grocery store down the street, in 3 weeks you'll find it go on sale there. Pretty awesome. So if you've purchased, say, two instead of one because you got it at a buy one get one free deal and coupons, chances are good you're not running out of it, but it will be on sale somewhere else and you can pick up more, and again you won't run out of it again. So there will be fewer needs and the ability to shop based on what is actually a good purchase, what is actually on sale. Shop that way every time that you go shopping and you'll find that you have less needs, less emergencies, less things you've run out as time goes by. And my number two actually kind of goes with that one. These are starting to kind of stack up on each other and kind of snowball to the big one. And that is plan a weekly menu, but plan it from what you have on hand. Many of us were not trained to do that. I remember the first time that that light bulb went on in my head. My mom had been a single mother and she would stop at the grocery store on the way home from work and pick up dinner. And that was the habit. And, you know, one day a week we got to go to the drive-in hobnob, oh gosh, it was awesome, burger joint. And it was great. Or to the fish market. And that was awesome. But that was how I assumed. I thought every day you kind of just, you know, what do you want? And then we buy it based on what we feel like. We did have our specific nights out. But when I was forced to really take a good look at our budget, that was not a possibility in our realm of feeding the family. We had to basically plan our meals based on what we had on hand. That meant prior to going to the grocery store, I cleaned out my refrigerator and I had a good stock of what we had. Great look at the pantry. I knew what had been put back prior in the freezer, so forth and so on. And I could build my week's plan for meals from everything that was already in the house. I still do this. Maybe I happen to have a need and I'll put that down on my grocery list. But that means I'm not going to forget it. It means I'm going to be able to stretch what's here further because I needed maybe a key ingredient, cilantro. And so I'm going to make something from that that includes that. So shop your sales with coupons. Yes. I mean, that was the one before here. But plan your week based on what you've already got in the house. That way, when you get to the grocery store, you don't have all this extra stuff to make special meals. You've already got your meals planned. Then you shop those great sales. See, I'm going back and forth between 3 and 2. Then you shop those great sales, bring them home, and guess what? It's already here for you to make next week's plans. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's just pretty awesome. And now we come to the number one, the big kahuna, the drum roll, please. This one probably goes without saying for you guys because you're listening to this on the Survival Mom Radio Network. But buy extra, buy bulk, stock up at today's prices because they're not going to be here much longer. I can say that across the board, everywhere. I said it years ago, and I was right then, and I'm right now. So this is part of it's kind of snowballing from shopping the sales and putting back extra. Don't buy what you need, buy what's on sale. Plan from what you've already got on hand, but also look for things that you can get in bulk. If you live in the upper western North Carolina, WNC area, you can call us at our shop, 828-536-4988. See if we are running our bulk cycle every 2 months, get on our mailing list and buy things for, well, let's see, I think they're like coming out to be less than 60 cents per pound for like wheat instead of $1.69 in the you know, bins you get at the grocery store. So you can get things in bulk, usually a lot cheaper. Learn to put them back, buy extras, buy that buy one get one free, get the second item free, even if you think you don't need it or you think you can cut back your grocery bill because it'll make the other one half price. If you've got it on hand and you're eating it this week, you're probably going to eat it next week, or if this month, you're probably going to eat it next month. So start building all your extra now, buy in bulk, stock up at today's prices, because I can guarantee these prices will not be here in a few months. I don't see any relief for this in sight, unless you happen to go to completely growing every bit of your own food, which is, hey, go for that. That's a great foundation to go for. But right now, you're probably having to rely on what you can purchase because you're not just living outside of your garden. So I'm leaving you with that thought, and I hope that you've enjoyed these top 10 thrifty tips in kitchen habits. I'm going to go over them real quick again, just so that you can jot them down or commit them to memory. And they are: number 10, organize your kitchen. Number 9, clean out your refrigerator weekly and do something with all those little puds and extras. 8, grow a garden, learn to put it back by canning, freezing, or dehydrating, even if your garden is in containers or on your windowsill or herbs. Number 7, cook from scratch using single ingredient items. Don't buy the box mixes anymore. You're not doing yourself a favor financially or health-wise. Number 6, make many of your own condiments and dressings and fixing croutons. Holy cow, all kinds of things you can make that you're spending a lot more to get them in the store than you would be able to make them. Number 5, use portion control when serving and when buying things in larger quantities so that it can be kind of go out the door, or I should say in the mouth, at a at a slow, steady pace instead of all at once. And when you serve a meal, you serve more filling foods and a good balance. Those all go together. Number 4, pack the snacks and lunches to take with you when you head out the door. It'll save you from buying mood food. It'll save you from spending restaurant dollars, and it's healthier for you. Plus, it keeps something from going bad because you just left it at the house. Number 3, shop your sales with coupons based on sale, not on need alone. Yes, if you need items, I get it. But your bulk of your grocery bill when you go shopping should come from what is on sale. Because then you get it home And you can do what? You can do number two, which is you can plan a weekly menu based on what's already at the house. And because you can do that, you know how important it is to do our number one thing, which is buy extra, buy in bulk, buy now at today's prices, and stock it up. If you need help finding a way to buy in bulk, if you need help how to store things when you buy them in bulk, or any of these topics, please feel free to contact me either by email. You can email me at survivingonshoestrings@gmail.com, or you can connect with us on Facebook, and both in my regular page, which is Donna Miller's work page. You look that up. That's really me. Or you can look up Surviving on Shoestrings, and you can connect with the Facebook page there. And also you can go by our new website, which is survivingonshoestrings.com. And I got to admit, I don't have much there by way of connecting, but there might be some things that you find useful, and that's really all that matters to me. But you can connect with me in other ways, and I'd be more than thrilled to help you. Well, for now, I'm going to sign off. I hope you've enjoyed these top 10 thrifty kitchen habits, and I hope you can develop them in a way that suits your home and your family and will help you make an impact on really one of the biggest expenses that is manageable, which is your food and how you use it and how it's brought in, used, and is consumed. So I'm going to sign off, and we'll see y'all again next week. Thank you so much for listening. This is Donna Miller for Surviving on Shoestrings, bidding you a good afternoon, and hopefully you'll enjoy the journey and stretch what you've got and just have a good time. God bless. We'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Surviving on Shoestrings with hostess Donna Miller. Tune in each week for a new show that will help you enjoy frugal survival with humor, style, and a smile.
Learn something new right here, right now, on the Survival Mom Radio Network. Aren't you glad you listened?